The scripture reading for today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this great opportunity that we have just to come together as a family of believers and worship you. I pray that you help us today just to remain focused and listen to the words that you're bringing through Pastor Dellinger. I pray that you would speak through him, that you would give him the words that we need to hear, and that you would help us to take those words and just be able to apply them to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6. On February 10th, 2013, we began the book of Ephesians. So for the last 17 months, going verse by verse, and we have come to the last chapter, began last week here in chapter 6. And that chapter, the verse we looked at last week was primarily a command to teach children, to tell children, to command them to obey their parents. And that seems like a easy enough command that we would all get here in this church today, but I can tell you it is a battlefield out there. There is a growing consensus in our culture to allow children to be more like adults, to make their own choices, to not have to follow mom and dad, to not have to obey, to not have to abide by parents' guidelines or family choices, as if children can make their own decisions and turn out okay. Really, it's what we see is a fulfillment of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, and the list goes on and on. Sounds a lot like 2014. So it's obvious that the family is under attack today, from our marriages to the roles that God has given to men and to women, even to the point to how we raise our children. The world is doing the best it can to destroy the family unit. But God's Word is unchanging. It's always true. And it's like we looked at last week regarding children and families and nations and generations. They are much better off when they are intact, and when children obey parents, and when husbands love wives and wives respect their husbands. But the problem is our flesh, our sin. We are selfish. And any time you attempt to do it your way, or become selfish, or try to redefine what God has already defined, or try to go against the commands of Scripture, you'll find trouble, you'll find a rebellious culture, you'll find an instability that is within the culture. It's everywhere. It never goes well when you try to do it your own way. It's never good. And last week we looked at the foundation of having a prosperous and healthy nation for generations, as God commanded the children of Israel. And that began with children obeying your parents. And that was I want to make sure we get the context of the passage as well. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, turn there if you're not there already. But what we looked at is children are to obey their parents, and the context is if they are still under the parents' authority, if they are still living in the home, because that's the domain of mom and dad. If you are living under their home, under their roof, you're their offspring, you're to obey them. Now, once you move out and you're away from the authority of your parents, even though you're not required to no longer obey them, you still are to honor them. Because obedience is the action and honor is the attitude. And we looked at the example of Jesus, who, as a grown man, he had moved away from his parents' domain, from their home. He was no longer under their authority, meaning he did not have to obey his parents at this point in his life. He was a man who was out of the home, yet he still honored. He still honored his mother from the cross. We read in John's Gospel how he valued his mother, seeing to it that she was taken care of once he had died. He no longer had to obey his mom, but he still continued to honor her. Which is a charge even to every adult that's in here today, regardless of your age, You're still to honor your parents. As I said last week, I am not obligated to obey my mother. I do not live in her home. I'm out from under her authority, but as a 45-year-old man, I still am to honor her, to value her as the Scriptures teach. But today we move out of the verses that are primarily directed towards children, and we move into some principles teaching us how we are to parent. Let's look at the first half of verse 4, and that's where we're going to that's as far as we're going today. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now this verse obviously is directed primarily to the father. Now a mother can heed this truth as well. All mothers should, but I believe the scriptures here addressing fathers is a reminder to us dads that we are still the head of our home. Each father, each husband is the head of his home, whether he wants to be or not. And each father and husband someday will have to give an account. We are the spiritual leaders of our homes. So Paul begins here by addressing us fathers. He goes right to the source, fathers. Not mothers, but fathers. And we've seen this before in the writings of Paul. He tells us husbands to love our wives as Christ loves the church. He now addresses fathers specifically, telling us to not provoke our children to wrath. He's putting the primary burden on the dad. It's us men. We are to lead. But we can only lead when we walk in the Spirit. Because all the commands that we read here in Ephesians, the ones that we are to obey here, the ones especially given here to believers, require us to walk in the Spirit. We cannot be the leaders or the fathers or the husbands we need to be that God has called us to be unless we are walking in the Spirit. And you know what I've noticed just from my own personal walk is when I am walking in the Spirit as a husband, it is much easier for my wife to respect me. Now, she's commanded to respect me either way. I realize that. But I make it much easier for her to do when I am walking in the Spirit, when I am a Spirit-filled father, when I am yielding to the Holy Spirit daily. I'm not going to be a father who provokes my children to wrath. And so I want to be a husband and a father who, by example, makes it easier for those around me to also walk in obedience that God has called them to do. But when I am not, when I am living in the flesh, it creates more of a burden on those that are around me, particularly my family, my wife, and my children. So, fathers, let's be Spirit-filled men who not only love our wives, but also raise our children the way the Scriptures exhort us to do. So let's look at our text today. Now, we're not going through the first three verses. We've already covered those. We're in verses 1-4, but it helps with the context here. There is certainly a responsibility that God expects of the children. We looked at that last week. They are to obey and honor their parents. But then Paul immediately turns and charges the father to not make obedience, not make honor difficult for the child. And we all know from experience that obeying someone naturally does not come easy. But the Bible here puts the responsibility on the father to not make obedience more difficult than it already is. And that's what we're getting into today, because God knows our human tendencies. In our selfish, in our fallen state, we find it much easier to put demands on others and yet excuse ourselves. And that is so true, is it not? We find it much easier to be demanding of others, and yet when it comes to us, we tend to excuse ourselves. I find it easy to look at my kids and say, because I said so. But what we have to remember is that we are parents. We are not bosses. We are parenting souls. And I think sometimes as parents, we forget that. And I pray that we're parenting souls for the kingdom of God. So this isn't a boss situation. This is a parent who the Bible later says, we'll look at next week, is to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we're parenting souls. So putting demands on others, especially our own children, that we would not appreciate if they were put on us, tends to be more flesh-centered than Spirit-filled. But that's our natural tendency. That's why we always need to be walking in the Spirit, even in our parenting. We must not be the parent that provokes our children to wrath. But the truth we see here given to us in verse 4 helps. It helps us parents to balance that out, because how easy it would be for us as parents to demand much of our children and yet have no boundaries on us when we parent. But God has given us some parenting principles that are boundaries when it comes to raising our children, and this helps balance our parenting. Look right there, and let's look at verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And now our text today, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now what we have here in verse 4, he covers really three principles for parenting. And we're going to look at these three principles over the next 2 weeks and look at some practical applications. And we're given here in verse 4, we're given a negative principle to not do, and then I guess two positive principles that we are to do in practice as we practice our parenting, as we raise our children. So today we're just going to look at the first half, which is how we are not to be. This is how we are not to parent. And let me say this before we go any further here about parenting, because I'm going to be the first to admit that I have failed many times as a parent. There are many times when I have done what I am not supposed to do, and many times when I have not done what I was supposed to do. There are times I have provoked my kids, and there are times I have failed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I'm not preaching this as an expert who has arrived. I'm preaching this as a father who battles his flesh every day, just like you do. But I'm also called to preach the truth, and so today I'm bringing the Scripture to you and me. I am also, every time I'm in this pulpit, am a hearer of God's Word, just like you are. So let's look at this verse together, because all of us, you and me, everyone in here, all the parents in here need to walk in godliness as fathers, as parents. So what's the negative parenting technique? What's the negative principle we're to avoid? Right there, plain and simple. We are not to provoke our children. And it's pretty obvious. God is telling us not to do something. And it's easy to agree with that, but the hard part is practicing it. It's pretty plain to see right there, we're not to provoke our children, but really, what does that mean? What does it mean to not provoke your child? Well, the Greek word there for provoke means to rouse the wrath or exasperate or bring your child to anger. Now, what we're dealing with here is a truth that is presented as a principle. Don't provoke your children to wrath. We are not to cause our children to build up resentment, to drive them towards hostility, to become filled with anger or bitterness. We as parents, primarily us as fathers, are not to do this to our children. And I would think that every father in here would say, yeah, I don't want to be that kind of dad. I don't want to be the kind of dad that provokes my children to wrath or to anger. I mean, no one wants to be a bad parent. I mean, there's no dad in here that says, yeah, I'd like to be a jerk as a father. That we're not signing up for that. But that's our flesh, though. We still are inclined to be selfish and to live in the flesh and to provoke our children. But a Spirit-filled father will not be a dad who provokes his children to wrath. Now, turn over to the book of Colossians. Paul said pretty much the same thing. Chapter 3. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now in Ephesians he says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He follows this phrase by saying, lest they be discouraged. This is like a sister verse. In fact, Colossians is very similar to Ephesians. But when I look at these two verses, we have a strong warning here. The verb usage is not referring to a one-time deal where it says, you know, don't be angry right now. This verb implies the command to not provoke your children. It's an ongoing command. We as fathers are to have an ongoing, a continual lifestyle of not provoking our children to wrath. This is how it's to be all the time. This isn't one and done. This is how you're to parent to be a father to your children. We're to live in such a way that we do not drive our children to anger, to bitterness, or to wrath. We are not to raise up discouraged children. And again, we're talking really about a lifestyle, not a specific certain action. A principle that we should live with all the time, especially directed here towards fathers. But I think that many of us think we're okay in this area because we look at our children and our kids don't scream and yell at us. So we think, well, they must not be mad. I must be doing a good job in this area because my kids have never screamed at me, "I hate you." So I must be doing pretty good. Or my kids obey. Or they seem to be okay. So therefore, I must be okay in this area. I must not be provoking them to wrath. But we got to understand, we know that anger does not always manifest itself in a temper tantrum. I mean, we've seen that before. But just because someone's angry doesn't mean they're going to pitch a fit right then. Anger is really good at just festering. It's like a volcano. It doesn't blow up every 30, 40 minutes or every day. It can fester, but then there'll come a time it will completely blow. It's not constantly erupting, but it's building over the years. Anger does that. So how do we, as dads, obey this verse? How do we keep from living our life in such a way that it does not build up anger in our children? Well, again, we're dealing with a principle here. We're dealing with a principle that God has commanded us to obey, yet there are countless, endless ways to apply this verse. Each dad is unique in here. Our children are unique. Our families are unique. But there are some other verses in the Bible that if we don't obey those verses, we can create over time that building up of anger and wrath in our children. And I want us to consider some of the ways that we live, some of the things that we do that will provoke our children to wrath. It doesn't mean they're going to lash right back out at you, but it builds up over time. That anger builds up. It provokes them to wrath. And wrath, by definition, is not lashing out. We even speak of God's wrath. When's that coming? Later. His wrath is something. He is slow to wrath. His wrath is later. It's not like every time you do something wrong or an unbeliever does something wrong, the judgment comes right then. No. It's something that comes later, but it builds up. It's a gathering of all these things, and the wrath is poured out later. When we look at our children, we think often that they're okay because, well, they didn't pitch a fit when I told them no, or they didn't pitch a fit when I did this. And we think our kids are okay, but really inside, many of them are building this up. And so I want us to look at some ways that we have to be careful. Because this doesn't mean that if your kid isn't yelling at you that you're okay. Because sometimes it's not seen for years. There are adults in here. Some of you parents that have had anger in your heart towards your parents for years, even decades. And you may not even realize it yourself, but with a little prying, you find out that, wow, they're still bitter at their father for something that took place years ago. And you can start to sense the bitterness and the anger. So how can we as dads live so that we do not provoke our children to wrath? Again, there's endless ways here. Endless applications. And we can be better dads who do not raise up angry kids. But I've chosen three, I guess, key areas in being a dad that does not provoke his children to wrath. This is not an exhaustive list. There's a lot more we could add, but these are three that I think are really critical in not having kids who grow up with anger in their hearts that we have not provoked. First of all, by keeping our promises. Three verses here I want to read to you about keeping promises, about your word. Psalms 89:34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." Matthew 5, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." And Numbers 30, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth." So the Bible's pretty clear. You need to keep your word. You need to keep your promises. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And your children remember your promises. I remember one time I was somewhere between the 12, 14-year-old age range. And we had my dad had a rough year financially. It was Christmas time, and it was one of those deals. They're like, hey, there's just not really going to be anything for Christmas this year. And, you know, we were like, okay. But what we decided to do is Dad decided to write us each letters. You know, this is your Christmas present, but it's a letter, and it was written to both me and my sister and my brother. And he, in that letter, he wrote us each a personal letter. But he said, this is what we're going to do sometime this year, just to sort of replace what we didn't get to enjoy maybe at Christmas. And each of us had something unique that he knew that just we would like. And so he wrote us these letters. And so within a couple of months, he took my brother and he did his thing. And I can't remember my sister, but I do remember that he never took me. I remember that every once in a while I'd say, you know, what about that thing? Yeah, we'll get to that. And it never happened. And I, as a kid, I remembered that letter, and I remember Dad promising that when I was, you know, that was, you know, 30-something years ago. And so as I got to thinking about that, I was like, you know what? I don't think about that much, but it, about 10 to 12 years ago, well, no, it was probably less than that, it was probably 8 or 10 years ago, I remember as a dad going, you know what? I wonder if there's a promise maybe that I haven't kept with my kids. And so I began to think, and, you know, of course, you're always pretty forgiving of yourself. You're like, man, I can't think of anything. I think I've been pretty good. And so, but then I asked my kids, and within seconds, one of the first things that they said was, well, yeah, Dad, you promised us you'd take us out west. I was like, wow, yeah, that's right. I would. I got to think, you know, I don't want to have a kid who's 45 one day and go, yeah, Dad promised to do that and he never did it. I want to be a man who keeps my word and with my kids. And so back in 2008, it was a trip out west, but for Dad, it was, I got to keep my promise. That's what it was more for me. I mean, I had just as much fun as everybody else, but I was glad that I could go back and go, I kept that promise. Because I know my children, they had remembered it even though I had forgotten it. But they did not forget. And so I look back and go, man, we need to keep our promises. So in 2008, I tried to fulfill that and we went out west. It's a good practice to occasionally ask your children, are there any promises that I have made that I haven't kept? Because you have a tendency, like me, to forget. But our kids will not forget. I want to be a keeper of my word. Not just my word to them, but my word to others as well. I want them to know that when Dad makes a promise, he keeps it. I don't want anger and resentment and discouragement to build up because Dad is not a man of his words. And one of the biggest areas that we can do this is just keeping your vows with your wife. I never want them to second guess Dad about his commitment to Mom. I want them to know if Daddy promised it yesterday or if Daddy promised it 25 years ago, I'm going to keep my word. Now, just like you, I struggled, and I've learned that I have to be a man of my word even when it comes to the little promises. Because this is backfired on me a few times. But I, you know, the kids would come to me, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, hey Dad, can we have ice cream after dinner? I'm like, yeah, hey, Dad said we could have ice cream after dinner. Well, around dinner time someone drops by 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Hey, can we have some? Yeah. Okay, as soon as they're finished. Now what about the ice cream? You promised, Dad. I'm like, man, I've learned to say, we'll see. I've learned that a lot. Which now I've got to change because they said, Dad said yes. He said, we'll see. I'm like, wait. So, but you got to be a keeper of your word. Even when it's little things, you don't want to be known as someone who cannot be trusted with your word. And so, as a parent, I've tried to make sure that I'm careful with, you got to be careful with your tongue. What do you say? Because your kids will cling to it. The sad part is you don't want to break your word so much that your kids never cling to anything you say. You don't want to be that bad. So whether it's a marriage vow or a road trip out west or a bowl of ice cream after dinner, I want my yes to be yes and my no, no. And I don't want to provoke my children to anger by being a man who does not keep his word to them or to others. Secondly, we need to be consistent. Sometimes I think the only thing I'm consistent at is being inconsistent. But the Bible addresses inconsistency. Maybe hypocrisy is a better word, in a couple of different ways. With the Pharisees, who would always say one thing but live another way, Jesus said this to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He says, "All therefore," he was talking to the people who would sit under them, and said, "Whatsoever they bid you, observe." In other words, whatever they say, you do that, observe and do. "But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not." In other words, listen, if these guys, if they preach the truth, do the truth. But whatever you do, don't follow their lifestyle, because they don't even do what they preach. These were religious leaders who would say, "You need to do this," but they themselves didn't even do it. So Jesus would say, "Do what they say, but don't do like they do." Why? They were hypocrites. In Titus 1:16, Paul said this to Titus about the unbelieving. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Again, we're talking about an inconsistent walk, which is how a believer lives. But we as Christian dads need to be guarded against being a dad who says one thing but then does another. Don't tell your children to honor their mother when you yourself do not demonstrate love to her. Don't tell your children that Christ is the most important person in your life, and yet they don't see you having a love for Christ or His Word or the local church. Don't tell your children that money isn't everything, but apparently that's all you talk about. Don't tell your children that the Bible is the most powerful and perfect possession that you have, and yet it changes lives, but you never read it to them, and they never see you reading it. Don't be like a Pharisee. Don't live an inconsistent, hypocritical life like that. Don't say one thing and yet do another, because a kid can spot that pretty quickly. We really can't fool our children. They see us, they hear us, and when we say one thing and yet do the opposite, it breeds anger and discouragement in their lives. We need to be consistent. But it's amazing how we're so consistent over unimportant things. We would never miss our favorite college's basketball game or maybe the Carolina Panthers game, but family worship or even corporate worship, well, let's just see how the week goes. We would never miss going a day without answering our emails or checking the news, but reading the Bible, well, let's see if I have time. What our kids need to see are consistent parents. Now, if you don't believe that Christ is that important and that reading the Word is not important, fine. But don't live the life of a hypocrite. I had a friend several years ago, and this man loved the Lord. And he was one of them who would ask hard questions. And he had a co-worker who went to the same church as he did and professed to be a Christian. And this co-worker of his had two kids, about 8 and 10. And he occasionally attended the church there. It was a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And he called himself a Christian. There wasn't much fruit. So his two boys, they played a lot of baseball. They were in local leagues, they were in traveling teams, and their parents just really poured their life into these two boys and their baseball. They traveled all the time, gone every weekend, they had the nicest equipment. I mean, they dressed like pros, they spent hours practicing. And one day my friend, he asked this dad, he said, "Would you rather have two sons who love Jesus with all their heart, or would you rather have two sons who play pro baseball someday?" And their dad, who again professed to be a believer, with a guilty look of disappointment on his face, admitted, "I would rather them play pro baseball." And my friend said, "Well, you'll probably have neither." See, I tell that story because the father, in a bad way, was at least consistent. He preached baseball to his children, his sons. He didn't preach Christ. He certainly wasn't a good Christian father according to the Scripture. It was questionable if he was even a believer at all, really. But one thing for sure that father was not, that father was not a hypocrite to his children. They all knew that dad cared about baseball more than anything else. He didn't say one thing and do another. He wasn't a Pharisee to his children. He didn't tell those kids to follow the Lord with all their heart and then spend all his time focused on baseball. No, he wasn't a hypocrite in that sense. But that's what many of us will do. He preached baseball and admitted, I want them to play pro baseball. That was his gospel. But we often will tell our children to do right and then we don't. We'll tell them to love Christ with all their heart and then we do not. Now we may love the standards that we create. We may love the rules we create, the legalism that we find ourselves in. We may love all that. But when it comes to Jesus, they see a difference. For many church-going dads, I'm afraid that Jesus would say to our children the same thing He would say to the Pharisees, to those listening to the Pharisees. Listen, do what your father says, but don't do what your father does. His words are right, but his life is wrong. That is a sad testament if that is what we are as fathers. How heartbreaking it must be for our children to only have the teaching of dad to follow, but not the lifestyle of dad to follow. How eternally devastating it must be for our children to have the words of dad to hear, but not the actions of dad to see. And we all know that our children are much more likely to follow our actions before they follow our words. We need to be dads who are consistent. Living a consistent life before our children will guard against that anger building up over the years in their young hearts, because their dad keeps his promises and what he teaches he lives in his own life. I mean, how many of us know kids from conservative Christian homeschool families that grow up and walk away from Christ in the local church? There are many. It seems to be a growing number. And I think one of the reasons that kids are tired of seeing hypocrites in their own family who say one thing and then live another. And so they build up anger, and then when they can, they walk away. Let's not be that type of parent. Let's not be that type of dad. Let's be consistent. The third and final way we can prevent children from growing up angry and bitter is by being honest and humble. Again, I realize there are countless applications here, but these three seem to be huge in the life of our children. This last one is to be honest and humble. What we're talking about here is being a man of integrity. A man who's man enough to be honest, who's filled with humility. Our kids need to see that we are real. We struggle. We're weak. And we're honest about it as fathers. Now, we all would agree, yeah, you're not supposed to lie. But I'm not talking about just avoiding lying. But I'm talking about speaking truthfully, about being real before our families, especially our children, who need to see a dad who is humble, who admits when he is wrong and loves God and his kids enough to tell him so. We need to be men of integrity who lead the home. And instead of raising up children who have been provoked into anger and bitterness by a life of broken promises and inconsistency and a lack of integrity, we need to be before them in honesty and humility. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That would include your children. And listen how it impacts your children. Proverbs 20 says, the just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Are your children blessed because you walk in integrity? Are you a man who lives honestly before them? The dad that everybody sees at church, is he the dad that your kids see at home? And the other side of this man of humility, Luke 14 says, for whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then in James, a verse we're probably more familiar with, but he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. What a great treasure it is for children to have a dad who lives honestly and humbly before them. God's grace comes to humble men. Men who are humble enough to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. To say it to their kids' face. And even for the kids to see it, him saying it to their mom's face. We need strong, humble men who are not afraid to apologize to their wives and to their children. And I know it sounds like a contradiction, but there's nothing more encouraging and nothing more hopeful than a man who is broken before God and leads his family with honesty and humility. We need to be men of integrity. So fathers, again, the scriptures come straight to us, calling us to lead, calling us to live lives and to be fathers that do not raise up frustrated, angry children who are discouraged. So are you keeping your promises? Are you living a life of consistency before them, far from the hypocrisy that your flesh wants to yield to? Are you a man of integrity living before your family in honesty and humility? Are you keeping your word? Listen, we can't do this on our own. God never expects you to do it on your own. But if we walk in the Spirit, we can be men who live by these truths and raise up children who are not angry, but instead very blessed because of the life that their dad leads before God and before his family. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, I guess, just the sobering truth, the convicting truth of your word. I thank you that you are a God who can restore lost years of bad parenting. I am thankful, Father, that you do not provoke us to anger, but you are a gracious and loving Father, quick in your mercy. Your faithfulness, your love. Father, I thank you that you deal kindly and gently with us. May we as fathers, and even as parents, Lord, may we raise up children who are blessed because we keep our word. We don't live a life of hypocrisy. We're humble and honest even before our own family that know us better than anyone else. Lord, I pray that we would live that way. That we would take seriously the role that you have placed us in. Whether we want to be here or not, Lord, we are here. I just ask that you would, especially for us as fathers, whom this command is directly given to. Because I know that there may be dads who have to go back, will go home, talk to their children, or maybe their adult children who are even gone, and ask about broken promises, asking for forgiveness, reconciling differences, being a man of integrity and honesty. Lord, I pray that you would do a revival in the hearts of our families, in the hearts of our parents, Lord. Thank you again for your goodness. May we just be so in love with Jesus that our kids don't know us for our rules, that our kids don't know us because we homeschool, that our kids don't know us because of our standards, but Lord, they know us because we love Jesus and our kids see that. And our children are blessed because of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.